stop. Max and Stacy's threesome.
What's up, everybody? Lex and Stacy, threesome podcast number 92. Mm. That's right, baby. Mm. 8 more to the century mark after this.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
I know.
I mean, what the fuck have we talked about? Seriously.
Your mom.
Yeah, my mom's been a lot of it. And her junk.
And the pictures of it.
Something else we've talked a lot about is politics, and we're going to do some of that today.
Much to the chagrin of some.
Yes.
But oh well, get your own podcast.
But we, yeah, exactly. And if you
this is a labor of love. We're doing this because we like it.
And if you can go 45 minutes without talking about it, good on you. Because we just did in the last podcast. We didn't address it at all.
And it hurt. I did feel a little pain, a little, you know, right there. It kind of got me.
I am having a difficult time at this juncture of the primaries and caucuses.
Can you say that again?
Primaries and caucuses.
Caucuses.
Yeah.
That's all. One more
and,
time.
No. And.
Now, would you, never mind. To save your family, what would you do with a caucus? Would you do anything with a caucus?
I'd vote in it.
Oh, good. See?
Yeah.
Good
sure.
Man.
How about you?
Oh, God, yeah, I'd vote it hard.
Yeah. Would you suck at it, or would you just, you know, sit at it?
Oh, both. Either or. Yeah. It depends on my mood and how I want to deal with that particular caucus.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you like a long caucus or a short caucus?
I prefer one that's meaty, has a lot of substance to it.
Do you prefer white caucuses or black caucuses? Or do you like mixed caucuses?
I think I'm an equal opportunity caucus lover.
I see. So whatever caucus you end up at, black or white, you're okay with it.
I am.
Okay. Well, good to know. Now we got all that out of the way. You told me that an old friend of ours has resurfaced.
How bad does your campaign have to be when you have to finally bring in George W. Bush to campaign for you?
Oh, I'd say you have to be somewhere around 3%.
Jeb, I love you. I'm so sorry this is happening to you. I had such high hopes for you, and I'm not a Republican.
I really don't understand why Jeb's doing so badly.
I don't know. I think because people need crazy or something. I think he's too normal. And there's also probably a slight percentage of people, but I don't know. How does the Republican Party overall and Republican voters out there in the world, how do they view George W. Bush? Is he still a good president? Are they happy with him, or are they glad that he's gone now?
I think he's a look the other way type of candidate for them. You know, I don't think they're as appalled or ashamed as, you know, the left is of him. But I think that Bush name is tarnished a little bit. I think that affects Jeb a couple of points. But let's just say W was a good president. And I still think Jeb is a few points away from where he is, because I really do believe you hit on something pretty relevant as far as people want... People want not crazy, but
I think they want apeshit. I do. I am convinced at this point, anyone who tells me that they are conservative or vote Republican, the fact that they're even letting this happen to their party, to me, just they're all fucking nuts. I'm sorry. I can't believe it.
Yeah, well, I think they're caught in the crossfire of good sense and supporting with what they think's going to happen. And, you know, the Democratic Party's been in that position before. You know, really outside of Kennedy, Clinton, and Obama, the Democratic Party's always had that fragmentation of, you know, complete liberal and moderate to deal with.
Right.
And this is a three-headed monster. You know, as if the two was not hard enough to unify the party, this is just outright impossible. You know, you have a guy like Rand Paul who was if he would have ran in the 60s and 70s, I'm convinced he'd be president. The ultimate conservative, the ultimate fiscal conservative. I liked a lot of the stuff he had to say. He's right. It is all about the money. We fix our money, we fix a lot.
Right.
We spend our money wisely. We stop spending it on stupid things, and we get things in line. A lot of good things happen. He's right. You know, but he just doesn't have that look of power.
Right.
You know, that Republicans have become accustomed to. You know, they want the salt and pepper Mitt Romney tight end looking guy.
Or orange Oompa Loompas with that hair. Donald Trump has never, long before this whole presidential thing, I have never looked at Donald Trump and went, oh, there's a powerful man. Never.
Oh, I have. Really? You know, just because of all the money he has and real estate and holdings and everything.
I recognize that he is a man of power. I get that. Yeah. But I don't look at him and think he embodies power.
Not by his looks, but you know he's powerful. So therefore he is. You know, so I think that's how he gets looked at. But, you know, when I look at Ted Cruz, I just see mountains of smarm. I don't see power. I don't see a guy that's in control. I see like that stupid puppy dog fucking smile on his face.
But plus two, anything I've read and seen on TV when I do watch like political stuff and everything, he is both personally and professionally despised by like everyone. People who know him personally think he is the biggest asshole they've ever met.
Yeah.
Back, I think it was in December. It was either The Daily Show or Rachel Maddow. I'm trying to remember. Someone had found his like college roommate, you know, and had this quote, and it was like this freaking paragraph that like is like several pages in a book long about the guy going on about what an asshole Ted Cruz is and how he will never vote for him because he is the biggest asshole he's ever met.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do. It was just from him knowing him personally. And that seems to be kind of the undercurrent from everyone behind the scenes in the Republican Party. They're supporting him, but nobody personally can stand him.
You know who he is to me? He's Greg Stilson.
I don't know who that is.
See The Dead Zone, Stephen King?
No, I read the book a long time ago.
Yeah, he's the president in that book.
Okay.
He's the guy that holds up the baby to save himself. When he's being assassinated. He's the one that holds up the baby to make sure he doesn't get shot. He's the one going, now you put your goddamn hand on the scanner before I cut it off and put it on there for you to launch the nuclear missiles. By the way, Martin Sheen played him in the movie, you know, if you want to picture that.
He's pretty amazing.
Yes. But if you haven't seen that movie, you need to see it because you'll just laugh. Because that's who he is to me. totally. And so he's out in my book. Jeb makes sense to me because he just seems to be, you know, kind of a practical guy. And, you know, he knows the game. He knows Washington. He's just somebody who makes some sense.
Unlike his brother, George W., who ran this country for 8 years. Can I tell you, I've been like biting at the chompers to like do this quote. Earlier this week, both Jeb and W. showed up in Fox News together on Hannity one night so that Bush could talk about why he thinks Jeb would make a great president and the stuff that, you know, you say about these things when you're campaigning for someone. And here is the quote that George W. Bush says on Fox News this week. "I love America, and I know we face enormous problems, but I know we can deal with them. I know we can handle them. I'm not an expert in a lot of things, but I'm pretty knowledgeable about what it takes to be president since I were one."
I were one.
I were one.
Wow.
He were. He were, in fact, our president.
Whew.
This man had his finger on the button for 8 years.
See, that's
now
just
I understand why he paints pictures of him in the bathroom. I get it now.
See, that's just it, though. I never felt like he had the finger on the button.
No, it was Dick Cheney.
It was, well, Cheney via senior. You know, Cheney was the perpetrator of all of senior's wishes, is the way I viewed it.
Did you see Rumsfeld recently on TV?
I try not to.
I saw him in an interview and I watched it. I don't remember where I saw him on. I think it was Colbert, actually. He's old.
Yeah.
The man turned elderly in the last 8 years.
Oh,
if you weren't so evil, you'd be like the sweet little grandpa, but you're Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
You're evil.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Rudolph Hess of the Bush administration.
Yeah. He was like in a little sweater vest and stuff, and it's like, No, you're Donald Rumsfeld. You're evil.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and Cheney was, you know, Dr. Mangala. Yeah. We'll make a new race. How are we going to do that, Dick?
I don't know, just get it done. Get a laboratory or something.
No, he'd know.
We'll call
he would know exactly.
We'll call it the Alan Parsons Project.
Bullshit.
That's a band from the 70s, ass.
Scott Evil is the greatest name ever.
You don't have a mother. You don't have a mother. You were made in a laboratory.
That was on the other night. I was upstairs on my computer, and my husband's watching it, and I could hear it. And just periodically still laughing out loud. I'm even watching it. I'm just listening to the lines. And it still makes me laugh out loud.
Silence,
all these years later.
Scott.
I will not put up with your insolence. There's nothing quite like a shorn scrotum.
I love the number one and number two, Robert Wagner and Rob Lowe.
Is there Rob Lowe's got Robert Wagner down?
I know
perfectly. And then the outtakes for whichever one it was, they're in bed together.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it really cheating when it's like, with yourself?
Yeah, it's a mutual admiration society. It's like Robert Wagner's like, "You're amazing. You're amazing." So fucking good. And how fun, you know, Dr. Evil's Lorne Michaels.
I know. Once someone said that, I was like, okay, I can
oh,
see
God.
That.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the evil genius. You know, and from what I understand, Lorne Michaels wasn't really happy about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, come on. He's like, run Saturday. I'm sure he has seen some of the vulgarest, most off-putting humor ever put together that never made it to the show. Look at the people that have gone through there, you know, and he's known them all.
As a fact, he kind of made them look evil genius and dumb at the same time, you know? I think that's what aided him a little bit.
Well, that's disappointing. I would have hoped that he would have had a...
Yeah, now listen, it may not be true. We don't know, you know.
Well, let me look up John Mayer's penis and Lorne Michaels' Dr. Evil.
Yeah. I'd have to guess that he'd laugh at it, just knowing Lorne Michaels.
That's why I thought the second Austin Powers was funnier, because it was more Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil rocked.
Yeah, Dr. Evil was the star.
That whole Jerry Springer.
I know.
Which kids today don't know Jerry Springer. They don't understand. Steve was even on there. Remember Steve, the bald bouncer guy?
Yeah.
They're missing out on so much.
Oh, the therapy sessions. Oh, it was awesome.
It got weird, didn't it?
You never loved me.
Oh, come on now, Scott.
Alex, you're so awesome.
It's one of those movies. If it comes on, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's like, and Lisa's the same way. She has no problem with it. It's like, if it's on, it's like, yeah, we're watching this. Especially
the opening sequence where he's naked, and it's like they so carefully choreographed that.
Yeah.
You know, so that everything is covering his penis and
yeah, it's just edited perfect. And all of his like evil weapons are all like look like dicks. You know, and yes. You know, and it's like he shows the evil plan, and you see like this dick looking missile like going down into this volcano like it's a vagina. It's the best.
It's such sophomore humor.
Yeah,
it's just perfect.
I so wish they'd make another one. I really do. It's just not going to happen.
Well, see, nobody ever talks about Three with Beyonce. That one was pretty awful. I've actually never even watched.
But,
and then he had that one just like not that long ago where he was the guru or something. And I guess that bombed terribly.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one either.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mike Myers do anything in a while.
He's old and chubby. You know, he's got his money and I think he's good. He's divorced. I think he can finally be the gay man that he has been closeted for so long.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yes, there have been lots of rumors, you know, for a long time. And then once he and his wife got divorced, I guess the rumors just went up like tenfold.
I see.
And that's fine.
Yeah, who cares?
I'm glad if he gets to find all that money and you don't get to be who you are, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, like we discussed in one of our earlier podcasts, you know, it's like who knows what has been divulged in a relationship. You know, his wife may have had her own arrangements, you know, or her own.
Right.
Who knows?
Well, you could also be bi, you know, and just, you know, sure, had sex with her, you know, he might have liked her. I imagine that there are probably a lot of gay guys that I could live with closely in a house, you know, that we're not necessarily doing each other, but cohabitate quite nicely together and have fondness for each other. You know what I mean?
Who the fuck knows? I mean, seriously, a living environment's a living environment.
Yeah. And you don't have to have sex with someone to know that, you know, if you're dying, you've got the cancer and you're dying, that there's someone who cares enough about you, no matter how they care, that they're there to take care of you.
Yeah. They say in some of these, you know, Mormon relationships, you know, and stuff like that, you know, the
polygamy
relationships that I don't know why I keep wanting to say bigamy. I guess it is in the 49 other states.
Isn't bigamy too?
Yes. Bigamy's you're married twice. You're married and you get...
Polygamy as many times.
Yeah. Polygamy is as many times as you like, but it's usually three.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But bigamy is, it's the old joke. It's like, you can't get married again. It's bigamy. And it's like, hey, I thought it was bigamy too.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
that dorky dad humor. You should use that to wow Sam's friends.
I don't need to wow Sam's friends. They already think I like have the coolest job ever. So, you know, I'm already on a cool level. You know,
good.
Cuz they've heard the show, they've heard how snarky and insulting it is and everything, so it's like I don't have to win anybody over. As a matter of fact, most of them are afraid to interact with me for the most part. For fear of getting their ass handed to them.
Wow. It's really nice to meet you. Could you introduce me to Terry? Do you get that ever?
No. But Sam's Korean friend Nick, he goes, got any good Asian jokes for me? I went, thousands.
Do you know who Sonny Bono is?
I said, of course I do. I said, I was just thinking about some of them when I had some sushi an hour ago. Now I want some more. I'm so hungry. But
it was just a little tiny sushi.
Yes. But he's...
God knows how many car accidents it was in on the way to the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they were going to a concert and he was driving and I said, thank God I don't have to tell you to drive slowly.
He didn't get it, did he? Or did he?
He laughed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He probably just laughed to be polite.
No, he's totally cool.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets it. You know, for one thing, his mom's Asian, his dad's, you know, just an American dude, so he's mixed. He's heard it all. So he just
So someone got lucky long time.
Exactly. And it's like he's like 17. I said, did your parents meet during the war? It's like 70 years ago.
It could have been sir. And Korea. Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
Is his name Charlie?
No. No, it's it's Nick.
Oh, that's too bad.
Charlie.
See, my husband and I have had conversations because, you know, we don't have kids.
Yeah.
That we should really, and this is why, this right here is why we don't have kids. Because we have talked about adopting a little Asian kid, naming him Elvis Wayne, and then only talking to him in an Asian accent until we go out public. So when he starts speaking in the Asian accent that he's been taught, we can look at him and go, what the fuck is wrong with you? And that right there is why we don't have kids.
Yeah, that's good. We had just one and realized that's all we should have. One's good.
One little Asian kid.
No, just Samantha. As soon as she was born, it was just like, this is it. After that first 6 weeks of changing diapers and not sleeping, it's like, this is it. Understand? It's like, oh yeah. High five. It's like, we weren't cut out to be multiple parents.
And it's good that you know that. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's when people know what they can handle and what, then great, have at it.
Pretty much. You know, it wasn't even something that got labored over. It was just like, this is it. Yeah, she got all our
Mother's
she
Day.
She got all our attention. She got all our devotion. You know, that's all we had to give. We didn't have enough for another one. Realized it.
And sometimes not enough for her either, but that was few and far between.
Pretty much.
You know, I'm just really not feeling the love for you today, kid. Go away. Go watch cartoons.
Sam's pretty much, as most only children are, you know, pretty adept at entertaining themselves.
Right. She was, what, speaking at one, too, because only kids speak a lot sooner.
Yeah,
children speak, too.
Yeah, she spoke at, like, one. Started, you know. As a matter of fact, she said dad the day I got fired here in Dallas.
Huh?
Yeah. Nothing like that reminder that you got something to pay for when you have no money coming in.
I'm not going to be your dad that much longer, kiddo.
It's just like, oh, holy fuck.
We can get 50 grand for you.
Yes, still. But you're diminishing in value as the day goes by, so let's get this done. She always had great timing, you know, when she'd, like, learn to do something. It was so funny. But I digress.
Yes.
But no, you know, it's like I always had a good relationship with her friends and stuff. Most of them were, you know, from horseback riding and stuff like that. So it was primarily girls and the occasional gay kid.
So Nick is a gay Asian?
No, Nick was after horseback riding. Nick's your typical computer nerd artist, video production, get stone type of guy.
Good.
You know, just completely.
They're what make the world go round.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's so normal, it's scary.
Good for him.
You know, and of course, her boyfriend is, you know, just the white version of that. You know, skateboarders, musicians, I'm sure they go score weed every once in a while. I don't know for sure, but just, you know, I look at my expertise as a human being on this earth, and it's not hard to figure out. And they're just, they seem to be all normal teenagers.
Good.
That get away with something, but they're not getting away with too much. And as long as it's not too much, I have a philosophy that if you bring attention to something that your kid's doing you don't approve of, that it will start happening tenfold. And
the forbidden fruit thing.
Yes. And if you're like whatever about it, it's not real fun for them.
I know by the time I hit 21, I really could give a shit about drinking.
I always laugh at the, the old WKRP episodes. You know, they had the one where the band's in the hotel room with Johnny Funes. He's like, we're going to throw this TV out the window, down on that car. And he's like reading a magazine. He's like, yeah, whatever, go ahead. You know, so I'm in there like looking at him like, this is no fun. Well, that's my philosophy. Yeah, it's like, hey, Dad, what would you do if you like came home and we had like a bunch of weed in the garage? It's like, I think that'd be pretty stupid of you to have all your weed out in the open for me to see. So I think you should do something with it.
What's it going for these days?
I'm like, you're also going to have to mask the smell. If you keep some bleach with some open caps nearby, that will help It's stuff like that. She's like, what the hell? It's not my first rodeo, kid. Okay.
Back 2 years ago when my father-in-law was dying of cancer, our friends, people were just great. That's when you kind of learn like how awesome some people are.
Yeah.
And you know, and he had was lung cancer that had moved to his brain. So he had done the palliative care, but still was getting headaches. You just don't get rid of, you know, the
right.
cancer headache and stuff. And, my husband had kind of reached out to a friend and said something about, you know, because they're pot smokers.
Right.
Do you know how to make cookies or brownies? You know, that's nothing we've ever done. And the wife literally opens up a cupboard in her kitchen, pulls out, she has two crock pots sitting uh-huh. there, pulls out the one and smiles and pats it and says, this is the pot.
Yeah.
And she started, and she made us like a bag of cookies and uh-huh. stuff, and was like, you know, just cut them in half, and you know, he doesn't need to eat a whole one and everything. And it was like, you guys just rock. Thank you. That was really nice.
Yeah. A friend of mine came back from California, had some edibles. And it was about a 5-inch by 5-inch by 1-inch Rice Krispie treat square.
Oh, God. I'm a whore for the Rice Krispie treats anyway.
Yeah. Well, I know about edibles. You know, if you're going to get high, you want to eat about a fourth of that.
Right. You don't eat the whole thing, folks, if you've never have.
Well, it was sitting out on the counter. And I ate a quarter of it. And I came home, and Lisa had eaten the rest of it.
Now, did she know?
Had no idea. Other than she goes, I ate the rest of your Rice Krispies treat. I'm sorry. She goes, it did taste funny. And I went.
And did you just smile and
I
say,
went,
aw.
I went, are you okay? She goes, I don't feel very good. And she goes, I feel kind of weird. You know, she goes, I can't figure it out. And I went.
Because you are tripping balls right now.
I went, what you ate was 3 times what you should have ate of edible marijuana. And she goes, what? I went, yeah. And she was just like, she's like, I don't like it very much. I'm like, yeah, you had too much of it. It's gone past buzz to, you know, miserable.
Overwhelming right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably feeling paranoid and a little, you know, off kilter. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, you've had too much.
I hate the paranoia.
Yeah.
That's honestly probably why I don't. In the last 10 years, I'm going to guess at the most 5 times that I've yeah. partaken in any kind of pot. But I just hate the paranoia. I don't.
See, I haven't as of late, but probably up to like, you know, 35, 40 years old, you know, I was I don't want to say a regular consumer because I could live without it. If it was around, I'd have some, but if it wasn't, I wouldn't go looking for it or have to have it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it was just, you know, kind of yeah. a casual consumer.
You weren't addicted. And, it was just like, eh.
And, you know, if I had like a joint, it would last a week. You know, I could take like a couple puffs and, you know, that was good enough for me. But I had some friends that had like crushed Coke cans in every room. You know, it's like they'd awaken and bake right away. And, you know, if we were right. out somewhere, they were like, hey, can we go back to the apartment, you know, for a few minutes? You know, I'm like, yeah. You know, it's like this shit's kind of made a prisoner out of you, dude, don't you think? So, you know, dude, it's, you know, I can't live without it, you know, type of thing. Really weird. You know, because
right. No, I've known those people too.
Yeah.
Where it's like really.
Yeah, it's
I know alcoholics who aren't even that possessed by it.
No, alcoholics are usually one or the other. They either have it with them at all times in a flask or underneath their seat or in a bag or whatever, you know, so it goes with them wherever they go. Or they're very habitual. They go like work all day and all that, but you know, when they get home at 7 o'clock, they binge till they go to sleep, and then the next day sleep, you know, work it off, get it out of their system, and start all over again. So yeah. You know, it's kind of more consistent. You know, pot smokers are all over the place. You know, yes. I've known moody pot smokers.
Luckily, no one my age now is to that point.
Yeah.
That to me seems like in your 20s, you either figure that out. Either you get to a point where you can handle it and kind of live your life.
Yeah.
And keep smoking your pot, or you just decide you don't need the pot that much and you kind of wean yourself off it.
Yeah.
So it's you can go out and be adults and productive members of society.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have a glass of wine at this point, you know, more so than that.
I will have one, maybe two drinks, you know.
Yeah.
In an evening, like a weeknight kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm not looking. It's just.
I don't want to feel like crap the next day.
Right. Oh, I am to the point. I absolutely. Being too drunk is just the worst. It's been a long time since I've been that way, but I never want to feel that again.
And I'll tell you why I kind of stopped smoking weed was because I started having a hard time going to sleep, believe it or not.
That's one thing. It's like put me to sleep, but then I'll sleep really hard.
Yeah.
But then it's like I slept all of my sleep. I crammed all my sleep into like 4 hours or something, and then I wake up really early.
Yeah, like I'll like on a weekend have some during the afternoon and take like a nap, and then have a little after dinner, and then all of a sudden I'm like laying there in bed and I'm like I can't sleep. But I feel like I can, but right. I can't, you know, and then I just start, my mind just.
You're right at that point, which is almost worse. Yes.
Yeah. My mind's racing and wandering about all kinds of thoughts, you know, good and bad. And, you know, it's like my mind's not shutting down, but my body wants to. So that's kind of why I just cut it out.
Yeah.
That and, you know, the apartment, you know, weeds become so potent now. That even if you're just keeping it in a baggie in a drawer, you smell it through the whole apartment. I can walk by people's apartment doors in my building and know who the pot smokers are, just even if they're not smoking it. Because I can smell that.
They're not home, and you can smell it, the residue. It's almost like that resin stays on the walls, just like smokers.
I can smell the fresh bud. You know, because it's so, you know, like remember how you used to smell Scentsy Bud through the bag and, you know, there was that resiny, you know, just, you know, skunky smell. Well, now it's become so potent and powerful that they can't keep it in anything to mask that. It's there's no way to. So it's like you'll walk by a door and just go, wow. That's some badass shit right there.
Suddenly, skunks become popular guests or pets. People start having them in their apartments.
You know, and you'll see, you'll be outside and, you know, walking your dog, and you'll see the people that live in that apartment, and they're like, you know, totally baked. And they like look at you like, we're okay. It's like, yeah, I know you are. You're so okay.
And then you go, boo!
But you know, it's like one of those buds these days could last me a month or two or three. You know, that's how, you know, because all you need is a little bit. It's crazy. It's like 20-30 times more powerful than it used to be.
Right.
That's why the edibles are like crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can still, and plus, you don't have to breathe it into your lungs. You know, I know there are pot smokers who care about that. They would just rather not actually breathe it in, you know.
Terry
smokers, whatever.
Terry showed me one of the dispensaries in Seattle. Just took a picture of it and sent it. I mean, it's some of the most beautifully procured plant life I've ever seen. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's like if I had it in my house, I wouldn't even want to smoke it. It's so beautiful.
You know, right.
Just the red and purple and yellow hairs growing through it that are just filled with THC, you know, ready to take your. And he, you know, he was showing me all these, you know, like teas and liquids and energy drinks. And, you know, it's like they grow it now for energy, and they grow it now for sleep, and they grow it now for, you know, for different highs you want. It's no longer
nice.
It's no longer just weed. It's like they have like a 5-hour energy for of weed.
Which, you know, is funny when you think about it.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
There's stuff online about it. You can just go look at it. It's amazing. It just blows my mind, you know, the science it's become. And let's face it, you know, it's the prohibition all over again. This is getting ready to bust yes. wide open and just be like beer and alcohol, and it's not going to be anything special.
And I think especially, too, with the edibles really picking up, that you can't really complain then about it being dangerous outside of being, you know, an addictive, mind-altering type thing like alcohol is.
No, I mean, you're you know, still can't do it and drive and stuff like that, but it's going
right. to,
you know, I'm sure science will follow that, too, and they'll be able to know how much THC is in you immediately if you get pulled over or whatever, you know, but, you know, it should be taxed, and the states and feds should make money off of it and put the cartels out of business.
Didn't Colorado, I remember like the first year after Colorado had legalized it, they published like the stupid amount of money that state made off that.
$70 million.
Millions and millions. Yes.
Yeah. Seattle's about to publish, or Washington's about to publish theirs, and they're expecting it to be even larger. And Oregon,
so many
Oregon's,
schools and things.
Yeah. Oregon's getting ready to do it. You know, it's a pretty much an unstoppable train at this point. And the feds aren't getting
so.
the feds aren't getting in the way, if you haven't noticed. You know, it's not being contested.
Well, one thing that sucks is my father-in-law cancer thing, because he was a Vietnam vet. So he did his palliative care at the Veterans Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is run by the University of Michigan. So if you are a veteran, you are getting like world-class medical care, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And he was there for 2 weeks, and they, because it's the VA and it's federal, no pot. There's nothing, you know, they wouldn't even mention that, hey, this might help do that, which is too bad, especially.
Yeah.
You know, in this circumstance that he and other vets, especially the Vietnam guys who were Agent Orange and are now all getting lung cancer and dying, deserve to have. You know, we had to go get it ourselves.
Yeah.
And Michigan is not legal, so we were breaking the law.
That sucks, but
totally.
I think in a year or two that won't be the case. It's just,
so.
You can just see it. You can
we
just
need
see
to get Flint's water fixed.
Yes. It's a disaster. But we have to quit broadcasting because we're going way over the mark.
I know.
And
we've wowed and delighted. And, you know, we didn't really talk about politics that much. People should be happy.
Yeah. We talked about what we needed to talk about.
Yes. And George W. Bush is still retarded.
Well, he doesn't have great command of the English language. Let's leave it at that.
His image.
Yeah. You know, and if he were did, we would be better off.
Wait, here it was again. Where was it? But I'm pretty knowledgeable about what it takes to be president since I were one. You were.
Yeah. Yeah. He has the best quotes. It's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, we shame on you again, or something like that. What was it? I can't even remember what it was.
I don't know. There's so many.
Yeah. He was awesome.
He is the, misunderstood. He was misunderestimated. He said that once.
Yeah, misunderestimated. And but he is the former president I most likely would love to have a beer with.
Clear some brush there in Crawford.
I'm
paintings of him in the bathroom.
His story's the most fascinating to me. I'll put it that way. Yeah, I got questions.
Oh, you know. I imagine if you could bring back a dead president, so you and Nixon would be tight.
Me and Nixon would be cool. Yeah. I get Nixon. I think he had the country's best interest at heart, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He just got carried away a little bit. He had their best interest at heart that he really thought the Democratic Party should have nothing to do with it whatsoever. So he took the steps to make sure that didn't happen. I totally get it. But it was illegal and you got caught. I have to say he'd be at my dinner of five, you know, as far as presidents go, no doubt about it. I'd like Kennedy, Nixon, Clinton, Obama, and W. That would be my party of five of presidents. For sure.
What? No Carter?
Nah. Not controversial enough.
That man is smart.
All that doing the right thing.
He has intelligence to.
I don't want to spend a dinner hearing about somebody who does the right thing all the time. I want the questionable guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on now. You know, it's not a popularity contest. I want interesting.
Well, at that point, then you may as well get Dick Cheney in there too. I'd love to get some beer, wine, and that man.
I want dinner with him by myself. I want to hear the good shit. He was a fucking moron. We had to keep our eyes on him all the fucking time.
And the Pope.
He made me look like such an asshole. He made me look like such an asshole. I'm really a nice guy, but it's like he couldn't be trusted. It's like letting Simple Jack run the country. We just fucking can't. So
I wonder if Bush wore like flannel PJs and someone tucked him in at night. If a Secret Service man would just tuck him right in.
When I saw him, all I could think of was like Dudley Moore and Arthur. You know, he's like. And Dick Cheney's just Harvey Korman, you know? In my movie world.
Or Dabney Coleman, you know. Yeah, Dabney Coleman was great.
Yeah, Dabney Coleman or Richard Dreyfuss or Richard Dreyfuss and What About Bob?
Yeah. He's such a little weenie.
He's out of fucking school.
And the man's like 4'8".
Yeah.
So much.
Well, we digress. We got to get out of here. But thank you, Stacy. We'll see you for number 93 next time. Love you. Bye.
Mwah. Bye.
And there it is.